Ready. A little heart sameach once again. And we will start here. I'm going to talk to you, I guess you could say in a way it's a continuation of the message yesterday, but not totally. It's not like you need one for the other. It's not a part one and two. But this message is on spiritual and emotional maturity. Spiritual and emotional maturity, which I think is extremely important subject to us. It's something that is extremely needed in the congregation. And today is Shavuot, right? What happens on Shavuot in the end time? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yahweh's Spirit is going to fall down on all the believers. And what are we going to do? We're going to prophesy. We're going to be healing people. We're going to be raising the dead. And we're going to be doing all kinds of works, right?
Hallelujah.
Praise Yahweh. But let's logically think to ourselves. Can Yahweh pour His Holy Spirit out on us if we're not spiritually and emotionally mature? What would we do with it? You know, I don't know if anyone here knows who Derek Prince is. You know Derek Prince is? He's a famous preacher from Israel, and he's dead now. He died a few years ago. A writer, did a lot of books, and a really, really good friend of mine was his driver, his chauffeur, for a while. And he had the gift of healing. You know, there would be meetings where he would pray for people and they would be healed. And our friend had a friend who came to him and said, you know, she had this problem. Can you ask Derek, you know, you know him personally, if he would pray for me? And our friend asked Derek Prince several times and he ignored him. And then he said, no, you know, he wouldn't pray for her. And he was really upset. And when he was driving home, he said, Derek Prince saw that he was upset. And he said to him, he said, so-and-so, it's nothing personal. He said, I didn't have it today. You know, and Yahweh's gifts are like that. They're not our gifts. Whether it's the gift of teaching, whether it's the gift of healing, whether it's the gift of administration, they're gifts of the Holy Spirit that He gives liberally as it sees fit. There could be somebody that has the gift of prophecy for that moment. The Holy Spirit comes on them and they prophesy. It doesn't mean they're a prophet. It doesn't mean they're always going to prophesy. But that's the point, that why does Yahweh not give us all the gifts of the Spirit liberally? Because we're not mature enough to handle it. You know, we're really not mature enough to handle it. You know, what would we do if we had the gift? Number one, without spiritual and emotional maturity, pride would come in. We would start thinking how great we are and how wonderful we are and how we could heal the people and do all these things. And how would we know? You know, like somebody came up to me one time who had cancer from smoking for about 37 years or something and asked me to pray for them. And I said, well, have you stopped smoking? And they said, no. And I said, then I can't pray for you. How could I pray for you for healing if you're going to go and smoke another cigarette? You know, Yahweh's not a magician. He's not a guru. He's not. Yahweh's there where He will bless us when we repent of our sins and turn from our former way of life. And then He may bless us with healing or He may not. But without the emotional and spiritual maturity, that is the reason why we're not seeing the manifestation of His Spirit in the congregation today. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, and again, this is just one message. We actually have a whole course on this at the Bible school. But at least I want to give you some highlights of this. Why we're not seeing this, the importance of it, and then some things for you to take back with you to really pray about and consider how you can get better emotional and spiritual maturity. Number one, emotions are trigger points. Every emotion we have is from Yahweh. There's no emotion that's not from Yahweh. So even anger, Yeshua was anger. What does the Bible say? Be angry and sin not. The only time that emotions are bad is when we're out of control, when we're not controlling them. So if right now I was telling you a story about a horrific thing that happened, that someone was raped or a child was molested, I would hope you would be angry. If you didn't have any anger, something would be wrong. We should have righteous anger toward certain unrighteous acts. So every emotion. So the key is, when we get emotions, they're not there to suppress. You know, they're not there just to forget that they're there. And whether that means sadness, whether that means happiness, but we always want to be in control of our emotions. That's when the problem comes, when we're not in control of our emotions. So again, what is an emotion? It's a trigger point. An emotion is there to tell you there needs to be change at some point. You know, if all of a sudden you get a letter from the IRS and they're calling you into the office, it's good that you're getting a little nervous in your stomach. Because it's going to help you to prepare when you go into that meeting. You know, it's a trigger point. It's telling you that there's something there that needs change. The two things why we have problems many times in the congregation, and I've seen this really getting worse, and that's why I'm telling you this message is extremely needed. Two people can come up to me with a situation and say, so-and-so did this, and this one says so-and-so did that. Now, both are saying something completely opposite. He's saying white, he's saying black, about the same situation. You can give them a lie detector test, and both will pass. So how do you discern this? How do you know what is true and what's not true? And why? Why are they thinking so diametrically opposite? Especially if we said we're all of one spirit. And much of it is perception. Perception. You know that we have a perception of things. Now, the problem is in our age we're living in the United States, we're living in what I call the Oprah Winfrey age. You know, we're living in the talk show age, we're living in the internet age, where we have an opinion on absolutely everything. Does Yahweh want us to have an opinion on everything? Why do I need to have an opinion on Cliff's shirt here? Why do I need to have an opinion on their carpeting they put in? Why do I need to have an opinion on, you know, something, I could have did this better? It's not Yahweh's way to always want to have an opinion on everything. You know, the Bible says if, you know, he who takes a problem that's not his, you know, gets involved in somebody else's problem, it's like taking a dog by the ears. But we're conditioned this way. And how are we making decisions on what we think? It has nothing to do with Scripture. Because if it did, we would all think the same way. Because there's only one faith and one Scripture, right? One Spirit. So if we did all have an opinion, it should be the same opinion. So why do we all have different opinions? Because what we're doing is we're making decisions on our perception based on our belief system. Simple. You know, I'll give you a perfect example. Two people get married, a man and a woman. The man comes from a background where, you know, it's a very strict family. You know, and the woman in his family, his mother would never walk away from his father ever. The woman, she comes from a background where her parents barely even talk. They're very quiet. So there was never, it was always talking like this, never even not voice or whatever. So now the man and the woman are talking, and the man starts just talking normally, but she perceives he's talking loud. Uh-oh, what do? I'm not used to this. She doesn't know what to do. She walks out of the room. He says, she walked out of the room. How dare she walk out of the room on me? Now you have a total situation there of nothing over perception. Absolutely over perception. You know? A woman's walking through the front door. I come and I open the door for her. She can take it two ways. Thank you very much for being kind. Or, what do you think? I'm not strong enough to open that door? There is a perception to everything. You know, how many times? You know, so-and-so looked at me that way. Do you think they're mad? You know? What do you think he meant by that? He fed me apricots instead of watermelon. Apricots, you know what an apricot means? You know, it's our perception of everything. But I realize what's causing most problems in the congregation is perception. And what I say is, and this is really important to remember, that most of the time, our perception is not reality. What you are perceiving to any given situation is not necessarily the reality of the situation. So that's the reason why, what do? We seek wise counsel. You get the multitude of wisdom. You get all the facts before making a decision, because we don't want to make decisions on perception. You know? I had this happen in my family. I come from a very, very close Italian family. My grandmother had 15 children. Most of my uncles and aunts are still alive. For almost 50 years, maybe longer, they all get together every Tuesday night at my grandmother's house. Now it's my aunt's house for the Tuesday night meeting. I mean, my family is, like I said, extremely close. We have a family picnic now 41 years. We get Esposito t-shirts made up, you know, and they're tight. You know, it's family or nothing. That's the way it is. But one of my uncles, who was deaf, he walked by my other uncle, and my uncle said hello to him in his deaf ear, and he didn't hear him. And he perceived, hey, Vito's ignoring me. He didn't talk to him for 12 years. For 12 years, over false perception, you know. But that's life. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? Face it, we're going to have enough problems in the congregation, in your family, in life to deal with. But I'm telling you, we have so many extra problems we're creating in our mind that aren't there because of perception. You have to make sure, check your perception with reality. You know, make sure the facts are there. Make sure that what you're believing is correct. The other thing is our procedure. Our procedure. How do we react now to something? Perfect situation. Man's at work all day. He's working hard. Maybe he's at a meeting, right? And he forgot his notebook at his meeting. And now he came out of that meeting and there's five things in his head and he wants to remember because tomorrow he has to do this. So he runs in the house and before the wife's ready to tell him something, he says, honey, just 1 minute, let me write this down. He runs in to write this down. And now the wife is all upset. Well, he doesn't love me anymore. You know, I was going to give him a hug and he didn't let me give him a hug. He doesn't love me anymore. So what is her procedure? She burns his food. Believe it or not, I had a young couple come to the first year we had the Bible school. They were a very young couple, just married a couple of years. And the wife was a little, you could say, aggressive. And we tried to talk to them, to counsel the marriage a little bit. And she wouldn't, even though everybody saw, you need to talk to so-and-so about their marriage. She wouldn't see there was a problem. She said, oh no, there's no problem. Because whenever he doesn't listen to me, I just spend everything in the checkbook. Procedure. Could our procedure be wrong? So at times now, okay, maybe your perception was wrong, but maybe your procedure is double wrong. So are you now doing something that's going to compound the situation? You know, would it be better that when the husband comes in and he ran in, when he comes out, maybe to say to him, honey, you know, I really felt unloved, you know, when you came in and then he could say, oh, I'm sorry about that. You know, I had this on my mind. I had to write it down. Procedure. So how do we act out our perceptions? And the key again is getting the factual information. Going to the source, making sure something is true and accurate before we start assuming, you know, that so-and-so thought this or so-and-so didn't think this or so-and-so said this or what they looked like this. Making sure we're getting factual information. But as far as controlling our spirit, how do we control our spirit in these situations? Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25 in verse 28 says, a man to whom there is no control to his spirit is like a broken down city without a wall. A man to whom there is no control of his spirit is like a broken down city without a wall. One of the first things I have the students do when they come to the Bible school is I have them write down all their beliefs. What are all your beliefs? And then we check them out. The beliefs that are empowering their life, the beliefs that are disempowering their life. People have fears, they have phobias. Many people are afraid just to come to Israel. And you know what everyone says when they come there? It's really no different than America. You know, as far as the culture goes, you know, you're not going to get off the plane in Tel Aviv and all of a sudden you're going to think you're in Iraq or somewhere. It's not that way. It's very, very similar to here. The security is unbelievable, best in the world. You'll never feel safer, you know. We joke as we're sitting on this beautiful kibbutz out in the country thinking, wow, are you afraid yet? Perception. People's wrong perception. Because they're seeing the news and tanks and everything. Whoa, I don't want to go there. It's a war zone. But we have people write down their beliefs because there's things you believe that are disempowering your life and your relationship with Yahweh and others. You know, and there's things that empower your life. So by writing it down and looking at it, we help the people. Let's now, these beliefs are good. One of my beliefs that form my life is that anything in life that happens is the will of Yahweh. So that's a strong, empowering belief because no matter what happens, no matter if I'm sick, if someone dies, no matter if I get in a car crash, because of my strong belief, I'll always know that it's in the will of Yahweh. So I never have to have doubt in my life about anything. Anywhere I end up, anything I'm doing that way because of that. So we got to check that. You got to check to make sure what you're believing, whether it's empowering your life or disempowering your life. But like I said, a man that there's no control of his spirit is like a broken down city without a wall. If you cannot control your emotions, you are no better off than a demon-possessed person. Because that's what a person is that's demon-possessed. He's out of control. And you know how a demon gets into you to possess you? By you not having control of your spirit. I've dealt with many demon possessions, and not in every case, but I would say the vast majority of the cases, it was either substance abuse, in some form or another, drugs, alcohol, through the false tongues movement, people giving over their spirit to Satan. There was a friend of mine that was in church in Washington, D.C., and all of a sudden the people got up and they're all speaking in the false tongue, and our friend said, wait a second, I know that voice, that's Romanian. And they said, what is he saying? He said, he's cursing Yahweh. So when you give your spirit over, in the churches, you know when they do this? You know what that is? That's Hindu meditation. When they sit there like this, look on your cornflakes boxes and you see them all like this. It's all Hindu meditation. And you know what it does? By saying that over and over and over, it puts you in what's called a mantra, which gives your spirit over to a demon. And it starts out really light. You know, it can take years until the demon comes into full possession. But it will happen. We have to guard our spirits. We have to guard our spirits. And when you're not in control of your emotions, like I said, somebody, have you ever been around somebody that really has a spirit of anger? Because these are spirits. They're not just that he got angry. It doesn't mean every time you're angry, you're possessed by a demon. But what it means is, when you got angry, a demon influenced you at that moment. Because Yahweh's spirit, as we're going to see, it's not the spirit of anger. It's the spirit of love, joy, peace, patience. So when all of a sudden you're out of control and angry, a demon is controlling you at that point. Maybe not possessing, but at least controlling your actions. And like it says, a man to whom there's no control of the spirit is like a broken down city without a wall. And I know in my life, the people that I felt the most uncomfortable around were people that had an anger problem. You know, people that you just never knew when they were going to blow up. And it's like, oh, you know, I don't want to be around this. You know, unfortunately, people beat their children. They beat their wives. They do all kinds of things from this. So we want to make sure that we're in control of these emotions. Luke 21:19, what does it say? By your patience, you will gain your souls. By your patience, you will gain your souls. So the key to emotions, like I said, it's not suppressing them. It's controlling them. Discipline and self-control. Those are the two things that are going to help you to be in control of your spirit. Proverbs 14:29. It says, one slow to anger is of great understanding, but he who is short of spirit exacts folly. One slow to anger is of great understanding, but he who is short of spirit exacts folly. Proverbs 16:32. One slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Read it again. One slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Remember the proverb I read the other day? I think it was Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks, so he is. If you're getting angry all the time, you know what you are? An angry man. If you're coveting all the time, you know what you are? A covetous person. If you're lusting all the time, you know what you are? A lustful person. Whatever you think, so you are. So if you cannot control your emotions, you're going to become that emotion. You know, there's people that are depressed all the time. No matter how good a situation is, they're depressed. Because they're not controlling that emotion. Now, there's a time we should be depressed. There's a time for everything. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to build. There's a time to tear down. And there is a time to mourn. And then there's a time to get over mourning. But if you can't control that in your emotion, and you're just depressed all the time, is that the spirit of Yahweh? Does Yahweh want us to be always depressed? And believe me, that spirit of depression, what will it give into again? A demon. It will give into a demon to come in. So we want to make sure that we're controlling this. And we can. Yahweh's word tells us how to control our spirit. And it's great. You feel freedom when you control your spirit. Because like we're seeing here, if you're not in control of your spirit, it's like you're possessed. You're no different than a possessed person. You're not acting what you want to act. It's like there's something there that's controlling you. That's one reason I never did a drug in my life. Now, I grew up, I would say, 80, 90% of the people I went to school with smoked pot, did drugs, because I never wanted to be in a position where I didn't have control of my senses. You know, and wake up one day not knowing what on earth you did. Proverbs 19:11. A man's discretion makes his anger slow, and his glory is to pass over a transgression. A man's discretion makes his anger slow, and his glory is to pass over a transgression. So what's going to happen? If you're not controlling your spirit, you're going to be influenced by demonic ways, and you're going to do things that is totally against Yahweh, and you're going to sin. Beside the fact that you're never going to be the complete believer, you're never going to get the results in your life that you want, and you're going to be completely out of control of yourself. You know, I mean, do you ever know people that are really, really good people, but they do these things, and then they come later apologizing like everything, they feel so sorry, but then they do the same thing. Because they're conditioned to it. They're absolutely conditioned. They don't know any other way. Believe it or not, alcoholic parents that have alcoholic parents that say, that went through things, beatings and everything else, the majority of alcoholic children, of parents that were alcoholics, wind up becoming alcoholics. Not all of them. There's some that overcome that we're going to see how. But the majority of them overcome because it's what they're conditioned to. It's what they're conditioned to. The same thing with divorce. Second generation, third generation is usually higher than first generation. It's because our mind and our nervous system is conditioned. We know no other way. So even though our father or mother beat us and we grow up hating that, we know no other way and we wind up beating our kids. But Yahweh's word tells us how to change this. This is what's exciting about it. That there's ways to change it. We're not lost in this. But we have to know how to do it. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9. It says, do not be hasty in your spirit to be angry, for sorrow rests in the bosom of fools. Do not be hasty in your spirit to be angry, for sorrow rests in the bosom of fools. So clearly, if you want to be the complete believer, clearly, if you want the Spirit of Yahweh to dwell in you, clearly, if you want to be empowered with the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, you have to be in control of your spirit. Can Yahweh pour on you all these gifts of His Spirit if you can't even control your own spirit? Because Satan would influence you. You might use these gifts who knows which way. You know, it's like the old times they used to have that old Superman thing and all whatever, and then they'd have the, you know, if Superman can go bad, right? And he's got all these powers and he's using them for evil instead of good. It would be the same way. So Yahweh will not empower His congregation with these gifts until we learn to control our emotions and our spirit. James 1 and verse 19. Jacob. Jacob 1 verse 19. Therefore, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work out the righteousness of Yahweh. Wherefore, remove far from you all impurity and the abundance of wickedness, and with meekness receive the word that is implanted in our nature, being able to save your souls. But become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Very clearly the same thing. The wrath of man does not work out the righteousness of Yahweh. You know, there's people out there. I met a man many years ago when we first left America. He was calling himself Elijah the prophet. And he was walking around in Israel with a little black box that said, Jesus is Lord. And I actually learned a lot from this man as far as faith and stuff goes. But the one thing he used to just walk up like people would be eating their breakfast, and he would just walk up yelling, you know, you're all going to die, repent! And like totally out of control. And the one man grabbed his son, I just want to eat breakfast. Let me eat my egg. You know, is that the spirit of Yahweh? And where do they get this from? From television. Because that's what you see. You see all these end time movies and the prophet has long hair and he's bugged out. And it's like the end of the world with one tooth. You know? But that's not reality. Where do you see that in the Bible? You know, I see in the Bible that some of the prophets were farmers, they were men, they were normal people. They weren't out of control of themselves. You know, people like Jeremiah, they had people after them because what they're prophesying, they were afraid. They were normal, everyday people, you know. So, again, to be able to have Yahweh's Spirit manifest in us, to work out the righteousness of Yahweh, we don't have to be bugged-eyed and screaming around at people. That actually makes me a little, ooh. You know, we want to be in control. What does it say in 2 Timothy 1:7? For Yahweh did not give a spirit of cowardice to us, but of power and love and good discipline or self-control. Yahweh did not give a spirit of cowardice to us, but of power and love and good discipline or self-control. That's what it is. The spirit of Yahweh should make people feel at peace when you're around. I know it right away, believe me. I'm very, very sensitive to spirits. And I can know right away, when I used to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, I can get on a plane with 300 people, and if there was one brother with the Holy Spirit, I'd know it. Just go up to him, you wouldn't happen to be going, yeah, how did you know? I was on a bus, maybe it was a year ago now, in Israel. And me and Petra were driving to Jerusalem on the bus, and this woman came on the bus, an Israeli, that only spoke Hebrew, spoke no English, and she was possessed by a demon. And she came on the bus and she starts screaming right off the bat. And then she's with another lady and the lady goes to the back and this lady sits right next to me. So she starts screaming in Hebrew and saying these things, and the bus driver starts talking to the guy next to him, saying, get your cell phone, call the mental hospital to take her away. And then all of a sudden she looks at me, and in English comes out. And she says, I'm not afraid of you. I know who you are. I know who you are. I'm not afraid of you. And she's shaking like anything. I just sat there praying to the Holy Spirit. Do I cast the demon out of her? Waiting to hear Yahweh's word. At times he says, cast it out, and I have. And at times he says, be still. Hearing the voice of Yahweh. Not taking it to myself. You know, seeing if it's Yahweh's will. Just sat there and be quiet. She shook like anything. I'm not afraid of you. She's shaking like anything. Because they know demons have no power over us when we're in control of our spirit. Satan knows that. That's why they want to give you all these horror movies and all this other stuff, because they want to get you scared. He wants to get doubt. He wants to get an in into your spirit. But when you are in control of your spirit, like it says, it's better than a walled city, that you can control yourself. Satan has no way to attack you. Absolutely no way to attack you. Acts 24 and verse 25, we see the Apostle Paul was teaching the same thing even when he was before Felix. I'm just going to read the beginning of the verse. It says, and Paul, having reasoned concerning righteousness and self-control, and the judgment that is about to be, being afraid, Felix asked for the present, go, but I'll come and call for you later. Paul, having reasoned concerning righteousness and self-control. Our life is a life of self-control. We're living in the worst time that man has ever known. There is more temptation than ever before. It's not Little House on the Prairie, you know. We're not out there all by ourselves in a little horse and buggy. Everywhere you go, every day of your life, you have to deal with television, internet, billboards, people, immodesty, everything. So if there was ever a time that we need to have control of our spirit, it's now. Totally now, if we want the Spirit of Yahweh to be manifest in us. Let's go to Titus 2. Titus 2, 1 and 2. It says, but you, Titus 2 and verse 1, but you speak things which become sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, sensible, pure, sound in faith, in love, and patience. Teach the men to be temperate, pure, sound in faith, in love, and patience. Extremely important that we're able to have self-control. Galatians 5, we were saying the other day, there's only two spirits in the world. There's the Spirit of Yahweh and the absence of the Spirit of Yahweh. Really one spirit. There's the Spirit of Yahweh. That's the only spirit there is. But the absence of the Spirit of Yahweh brings what? Brings evil. The absence of good brings evil. The absence of light brings darkness. So if it's the absence of the Spirit of Yahweh, which is only good in light, you will have darkness and evil. But if we go to Galatians 5, we'll read the difference of the Spirit of Yahweh and what happens when the absence of the Spirit of Yahweh is there. Galatians 5 and verse 16. He says, but I say to you, if you walk in the Spirit, the lust of the flesh will not overtake you. Key point, walking in the Spirit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are opposed to one another. So you are not able to do as you desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the penalty of breaking the Torah. Now the works of the flesh are clearly revealed, which are adultery, impurity, uncleanness, lustfulness, idolatry, witchcraft, enmity, fighting, jealousies, anger, rivalry, stubbornness, divisions, heresies. And we see a lot of this within believers, right? We're seeing these things. Envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and all the things of like, of which I told you beforehand, and I said before that the ones practicing such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. But the fruit of Yahweh's Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Self-control. Against such things, there is no instruction. There is no instruction against those things. Absolutely none. But the ones belonging to Messiah crucified the flesh with his passions and lust. Let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. Let us not be a vain glory that ridicules one another and envies one another. Like we said yesterday. Total surrender. Tree of life, tree of death. What is it going to be? was it going to be? And every time we have our opinion, what are we doing? We're going back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of death. Because Yahweh never asked us for our opinion. Where in His Word do you ever see Him asking us for our opinion? What He wants us to do is He wants to train us in His opinion. And then He wants us to take His opinion to the world and let the world know what Yahweh says. He's never asked us for our opinion. Do you really think He needs our opinion? Man, He created all this, the universe, billions of stars and planets in 6 days, and He needs our opinion? Maybe I would have made it red. You know, He doesn't need our opinion. What He needs is our loyalty. He needs our integrity. He needs our honesty. He needs us to follow what He said. You know, so many times I have Christians say to me, "Oh, I know what you're saying about Christmas being pagan, but what we did, this, they made it to the pagan god of darkness, and we made the day to little baby Jesus of light." And I open up to Deuteronomy, and I say, and that's exactly what He said not to do. He says, when you enter the land, do not take the ways of the pagans and turn it and worship Me the same way. Because what are we telling him? "Oh, all right, Yahweh, I know you did good, but not good enough. You know what? There's this pagan guy here, and they're doing this thing to him with this tree. I know Your Word didn't say that, but, you know, it's pretty neat. So let's put you under the tree, you know." He knew what to tell us. We got, you know, 66 books here. It's a big book. He told us everything we need to know. And He really doesn't need our opinion. What He needs us to do is learn His opinion. And that's why we don't judge motives of people. We judge sin. That's all we're told to judge. And when you go to a brother, what does it say? You don't come out, you're sinning. No, you come in meekness and love, lest maybe you'll be puffed up and destroy yourself with doing it. And the only thing you do is, by the word of Yahweh, share with that person where maybe they're falling short. That's all we're said to do. We're not to judge people's motives. We're not to judge, well, you know, let me figure out why he did what he's doing or get into his mind. The Bible never tells us to do that, the opposite. So we want to make sure. We want to make sure that we are manifesting these fruits of Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit. Because the absence of the fruits of Yahweh's Spirit will bring what? Those other. They'll bring all these other things that we see many times within the congregation. Romans 6 and verse 16. And I'll tell you something, when we think this way, it will really help us not only to exhibit more humility, but to be much more less judgmental. And that's really the problem, because every time we're given our opinion that could be better, we're really judging somebody that they're not doing it good enough. Doesn't mean constructive criticism, don't get me wrong. Always can use constructive criticism. I'm talking about outright judging, you know. And it's like something's done, and then we whisper in the back, you know, "I would have did it this way. Hey, do you really think they did a good job on that? Oh, wow, look, that's offline." You know, that kind of stuff. But again, constructive criticism is a totally different thing, so I hope I don't get misinterpreted. But Romans 6 and verse 16, it says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin to death or obedience to righteousness?" And like I said, when you are not in control of your spirit, if you are being angry on a regular basis, you're an angry person. So what is that? You are being obedient to the spirit of anger. Whatever spirit you're doing, whatever is manifest, whatever comes out, you can say whatever you want, but that's why, what does Yahweh say? Judge by the fruits. You know, there's people that are alcoholics that won't admit it, and yet they drink every single night. There's people that have an anger problem, they won't admit it. So denying it doesn't make it untrue. You know, if you are manifesting that spirit, then that's the spirit that's leading you. It's very simple. "But thanks be to Yahweh that you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you were enslaved to righteousness. I speak as a man on account of the weakness of your flesh. For as you yielded your members as slaves to uncleanness and to iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves to righteousness unto sanctification." See, what is one of the things? Being set apart from these things. If you're part of the world, if you're in the world, you're never going to be sanctified. You're never going to overcome. You're never going to be the way you want to be. Verse 20, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free as to righteousness. Therefore, what fruit did you did you have then in the things over which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin and having been enslaved to Yahweh, you have your fruit unto sanctification and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is everlasting life in Yeshua Messiah, our Master. So very clearly, there's only two servants, and whatever you are manifesting, that's the spirit that you are being obedient to. Very clear. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, "And every man who battles in the contest frees his mind from everything else. And yet they run to win a crown that is perishable, but we to win one that is everlasting. So I run accordingly, as not uncertainly, so I fight, as not beating air." Verse 27, "But I conquer and subdue my body, so that by no chance, when I have preached to others, will I myself be disapproved." Paul says that he subdues and conquers his body. Did we ever think about that? You know, it's like that little thing, the angel's on this side, the devil's on that side. It's so true in life. What does Paul say in Romans 7? The things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I want to do, I do. Is he being schizophrenic? Of course not. He's talking about the human nature that's in him and the spirit of Yahweh that's in him. Do we realize our fight isn't against the guy in the back? The fight isn't against, you know, your sibling or your pastor or whoever else. The fight is against you. You must subdue your body. If you ever want to be the complete believer, you have to subdue your body. You've got to get your human nature in control. And we just read, anger, lust, covetousness, all these things. Lying, maligning, gossiping, they're all coming from your flesh that you must get into control. You have to subdue your body. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? Absolutely. Romans 10, in verse 3, one verse. It says, "For being ignorant of the righteousness of Yahweh and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to the righteousness of Yahweh." For being ignorant of the righteousness of Yahweh and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to the righteousness of Yahweh. And that's what I'm saying. If we're so opinionated that we have an opinion on everything, what we're doing is we're building our own righteousness apart from Yahweh's righteousness. His righteousness is in His Word. But we're building a system of righteousness by what? By, like I said, by our upbringing. You know, everything. Everybody has different beliefs on everything from eating to hygiene to exercise to what food to eat. You know, now again, there are things that are smarter than others. You know, we try to eat as healthy as possible. We try not to eat white sugar. We try not to eat white flour. But some people make it into a religion. You know, Yahweh gave us food laws. And these are the laws that He commands. But if we're going to start judging, I saw him eat a piece of white bread at breakfast. Well, are you kidding? Oh, I would never eat white bread. If you ever made that statement, "I would never do," it doesn't matter how you end it, you were self-righteous. Doesn't matter whatever, it could be the worst thing in the world. If you're making that statement, "I would never do what he did," you're self-righteous. Because that's not the way Yahweh's Spirit looks at it. We need to subdue ourselves. We need to get our bodies in control. And if we can control ourselves and our emotions, then Yahweh can pour His Spirit on us. Because we'll have the maturity to move on in these gifts that He so bad wants to give us. The only way to get full control of your spirit and emotions is through full submission or surrender of your soul to Yahweh. I said this yesterday. The only way you will ever have total, full control of your spirit and emotions is when you give full submission and surrender to Yahweh. As long as you're holding on to your human nature, you'll never submit to Yahweh. And you know the main reason why people hold on to it is fear. People know many times that something in their character is wrong, but they feel like, "Yeah, if I ever let this anger go, then everyone's going to walk all over me." What is that again? It's a false perception. It's a rule that they were brought up with. "Well, you know, my mom was like that, and they walked all over her, and no one's going to walk all over me." So let me hold on to this anger so that people can't take advantage of me. False perception. False perception. So what do? We have to totally surrender to Yahweh and let Him be the one who is our defense. Let Him be the one to fight for us. As long as we're out there fighting for ourselves, and man, I gotta be a little bit angry because I gotta make sure I could protect myself and my family. No way. 100% surrender to Yahweh. That's what it comes down to. Let Him be the one to fight our battles. Let Him be the one to do these things. And what do? We take through self-discipline to get control of our spirit and let those gifts of the Spirit manifest in us. 100%. Proverbs 1. Let's go to Proverbs 1. And verse 1. Awesome book. I said to people, one way in your life, if you feel you may not have very good discernment and you want to get better discernment, take the book of Proverbs, make little flashcards, and memorize the book of Proverbs. Read it every single day and memorize it. And all of a sudden, the situation will come up. It can be with your brother-in-law. It can be with the guy down the street. And Proverbs will start coming into your mind. Ah, yes. Proverbs start coming into your mind. That happened one time when I was landscaping. I had went to the feast. I think I went to the Feast of Tabernacles, and there was a job I couldn't get to, and the man from the company, it was a commercial job. He was really angry, and he's about near that door, and I see him coming at me like this, you know, and I'm thinking, oh boy, you know. And he's just getting madder and madder. I see steam coming out of his ears there, and I think right away comes to mind, soft answer, turns away wrath. And he comes up to me, and he's like, I got to talk to you. And he was on vacation, and I said, so how was your vacation? Oh, my vacation was good, but I need to talk to you. Oh, where'd you go? I was over there. Hey, did you go to that? Yeah, I went to there. And then we're talking, and about 10 minutes later, I said, so what, did you want to say something? I just wanted to let you know that this wasn't cut, but you could do it later. Soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs. We have to make sure the word of Yahweh is leading our spirit, not human nature, you know? And I'm telling you, it's a great way to do it. Make flashcards, memorize the book of Proverbs. It's an awesome, awesome book in there. And it's the art of skillful living. That's what proverb means. The art of skillful living. So we read here, Proverbs 1:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To discern words of understanding. To receive instruction in prudence, justice, and judgment in uprightness. To give sense to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young man. The wise hears and increases learning, and the understanding one gets wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear my father's instruction, and do not forsake the Torah of your mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace to your head and necklaces to your neck. Do we do that? When situations come up, do we go to the Torah? Do we pray to Yahweh? Or are we allowing our emotions to uncontrollably make decisions for us? Which way is it? So, let's start getting into what do we do to change this? How do you get spiritual and emotionally mature? In order to get spiritual and emotionally maturity, you have to reprogram your nervous system. Actually, do you know that? Every command that comes to you, it comes from your nervous system. Your nervous system commands your brain, and your brain tells you what to do. And what does it come from? It comes from your experiences in life. Like I said, everything that you go through in life. So if you've had bad experiences, and they're called anchors, all of a sudden something will anchor your mind, and you might do something automatically that you didn't even want to do because that anchor was there. You know, and it's just think of songs. Songs are one of the strongest anchors because anchors come in times of very, very high emotions, good and bad. And maybe at your wedding song, right? The song when you and your spouse got married, and every time you hear that song, it makes you happy, right? You think of that. Maybe there's a song when you were at a funeral. You know, you were at a funeral and everyone's coming up and saying, I feel sorry for you. Sometimes just from a touch. And you could be in a real good situation here and being happy, and someone touches you a certain way, and all of a sudden you start getting depressed and don't even know why. It's because your nervous system gave a response to your mind to be depressed at that moment. So this is when Paul's saying to subdue our body. He's saying to get our nervous system in control of ourselves. Don't let situations that happened in life pre-conversion let us be roamed around like people that don't have control of their spirit. The Bible tells us when we become believers, all things become new. What is he talking about? You come home, your house isn't new, your car isn't new. What is he talking about here? He's talking about inside. That you literally, whatever you had before, it doesn't matter if you were a murderer, it doesn't matter if you were the angriest person in the world, all things can become new. That now, through the Holy Spirit, you can reprogram your nervous system to be the person Yahweh wants you to be. And like I said, we have a whole course on this at the Bible School. People coming there, I'm telling you, you will leave a different person. You will know how to change yourself. You know, I have certain anchors that I have. That if ever something is starting to feel bad or depressed or whatever, just certain touches that I have that can immediately turn my mind where I will not allow myself to go into depression. I will not allow myself to go into a fit of rage or something like that. Because I know how quickly it can happen. And you need that. You need to have anchors to turn yourself from that. So the Spirit of Yahweh, you're always in control of the Spirit of Yahweh. You have to reprogram your mind and your nervous system from the false belief of getting and self to the true belief of giving in love as a way of life. It's not normal. Let me tell you something. Isn't it normal to love your enemies? Is it normal to pray for people who despitefully use you? It's not normal. You're not born that way. Your human nature doesn't have that. Children don't have it when they're born. You have to program yourself to love your enemies. And that's all faith is. If you lack faith, you haven't programmed yourself to 100% conditionally believing Yahweh. That's all faith is. It's just belief. You have to recondition yourself to these things. And like I said, most of the things in our emotions that are being worked against us is because of self. Because we're trying to protect ourselves. Why do we lie? Does anybody lie to hurt themselves? No, they lie to protect themselves. I don't want them to know. I don't want them to know that I was a baker and not the head of the football team. You know? So we lie, we make things up, because somewhere in our nervous system we're thinking that that's going to benefit us. But what does Yahweh's word say? Lying never benefits you. Lying will always have a false concept. That's why the question came up years ago, could Yeshua have sinned? Well, maybe hypothetically, he was a human being, but he couldn't have sinned because sin is deception. That's all sin is. And Yeshua was the living Torah. Could Satan deceive Yeshua? Absolutely not. So, yeah, theoretically, he was a human being. He could have, but would he have? Never. Not in a million years. There's no way that Satan could have deceived Satan. And that's all sin is, deception. And when we're not in control of our spirit, that is the way that Yahweh will deceive us. Now again, the best way to do this is from childhood. You know, our children, when we're believers, is to instill in their belief system, in their nervous system from birth, a faith in Yahweh, a faith in the Torah, a faith in His commandments. That's the easiest way. Train. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 22:7. Train up a child in the opening of the way, and when he gets older, he will not depart from it. In some Bibles, the way it's worded, people mistake it. They think it's train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he gets older, he will not. Meaningly, all their children that went away from the truth, that somehow they're going to come back when they're older. That's not what it's saying. It's saying train him in the opening of the way. The minute he comes out of the womb, train him, and when he's older, he won't depart. It's not saying he departs and comes back. It's saying he never departs. You know why? Because it's part of his nervous system, his mind, his heart. It's instilled. There's a reason why Yahweh's word says, you know, we are to love Yahweh with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. They're four different things. They're not all the same thing. Because they're different aspects. You know, spiritually, you know, we have a soul, but we have a mind and we have a nervous system, and we have to use our strength through the Holy Spirit to utilize that so that Satan can't deceive us. Very, very simple. But what if we didn't grow up? I didn't grow up a believer. I didn't come to faith till I was in my late teens. What if we're not that way? How do we do it? How do we do it? What if we come to faith when we're 40 or 50 or 60 and we have a lot of baggage behind us? How do we change these things? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Yeshua who strengthens me. Like I said, the first thing you have to do is check your belief system. Your belief system is holding you back. If you don't believe you can do it, you never will. There's a scripture in Jeremiah, I think it's Jeremiah 7, unless you believe, you will not be established. There were times when we first got to Israel, when we were living in the old city, and we would just go around trying to help people whenever we can. And we'd meet people. They'd say, oh, this person's in trouble. It's a single mom, and she's got a child, and they can't pay the rent. And we're usually not the ones that are just handing money out. Sometimes money is the answer. You know, you might be low on your rent, you need money, that's fine. But what we find out, especially in third world countries, that we've seen money, just a few hundred dollars, corrupt an honest minister of 30 years. So we got to be real careful with money. So what we were trying to do is give them what they need. So we would talk to the person and see if we can get them a job or get them somewhere where they can live and pay it off. And there was 100 excuses. Oh, no, I can't do that there. No, no, no. Oh, no, you know. Well, same when I was a landscaper. You know, I would hire any brother or sister that was out of work, whether they can do it or not. I had one guy that worked with me. He was like in his 50s and real short. He couldn't even go up to the lawnmower. But I figured instead of just handing him money, let him work. And it was great. And he did. He worked as hard as he could, and I appreciated it. But for some people, oh, no, my shoulder hurts. Oh, my back. Sweep the floor off. Maybe later. They say that a lot of times when you go to homeless people that say, I'll work for money, offer them and see how many will do it. Some might, but they say the majority of them, they don't show up. I've had many people tell me stories of that. So we want to make sure that we are doing our part. That we're doing our part. We can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. We need to reprogram our belief system. And our like I said, our minds and our nervous system, as our emotions are sent by the nervous system to the brain, and they're not based necessarily on reality, but on the thought pattern that we've been conditioned to. Just remember that. How many times maybe in your life that you've been so mad about something, and it wasn't true. It just wasn't true. It was a false perception that you had. Let me tell you how strong your nervous system is. And this is a proven fact. They have taken people and hypnotized them and put an ice cube in their hand, and literally their hand burned. The power of belief. The power of belief. And many of us have belief, but in a negative form. We 100% believe we can't do something. Now, that's not all that bad, because at least you have a strong belief. What we have to do is turn it to get that to believe you can do something. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. You've got to instill that. You've got to instill these rules in your mind and never let it be changed. You know, I did a tape a while ago on the importance of doctrine. And I know in many of the congregations today, they're not preaching doctrine. And they say, well, let's just all get along. Let's put doctrine aside. You put doctrine aside, I'm going for the door, you know, because I'm not here to play games. You know, I don't want to go back to Protestantism. I don't want to go back to Catholicism. Doctrine is everything. It's absolutely everything. And let me tell you something. In the end time, when it comes down to it, whether it's taking the mark of the beast or whatever, you're going to have to decide whether you will die for your doctrine. I have people do this in our underground congregation class. Write down. You write down everything you'd be willing to die for. Because you know something? You will never die for a doubt. You'll never die for a doubt. If you're in a concentration camp and they're asking you information, or they want you to deny something, you really think you'll die if you doubt something? I'm willing to die for the Sabbath day. It's a commandment of Yahweh. I'm not going to compromise on that. It's not just something I do when I get the chance. It's not something I do if it's convenient. It is a commandment to rest on the seventh day. It is sin to work on the seventh day. Like Rowan was saying, I had the opportunity in Africa a couple of years ago that I was before 65 Sunday-keeping pastors. Gave a four-hour lecture on the Sabbath day. Answered all their questions, and most of them were believing at the end of it. Then the one guy was kind of got up and kind of laughing a little bit and said, "But Is it really important? What if I still work? Do you think that God would be mad at me?" And I just read the commandment. I said, "What is it about thou shalt? Don't you understand? Thou shalt. You know, this is the word of Yahweh. This is a commandment. They're not the 10 suggestions. And of course, we all do it because we want to do it. But what if we didn't do it? There's penalties to sin. There's penalties to it. So you have to instill in your belief system what you believe and what you don't. And I would say to everybody here, make a note for yourself. Do it on your own when you go home. Write down what you're willing to die for. Write down your empowering beliefs in life and your disempowering beliefs, and start looking at what you need to change in your life. If we can control our body, like 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, through submission to Yahweh and discipline in our flesh, then we will have the proper trigger points in the flesh to walk in the Spirit. If not, then our physical body will control us and destroy us. You think an alcoholic really wants to be an alcoholic? You think a drug addict really wants to be a drug addict? Man, nobody wants that when they get that low. They can't control themselves. They can't help themselves. They're not in control of their body. And I'm telling you, when we have spirits of anger or anything else like that that's not of Yahweh, we're in the same position. We're out of control. And it will destroy us if we're not walking in the Spirit. Romans 8, Romans the 8th chapter. Starting in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Yeshua Messiah who do not walk according to flesh, but according to Spirit. Sometimes Sunday people or anti-Torah people will read this to you. Look, it says there's no condemnation, but they don't read the rest of the verse. For those who walk according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Yeshua Messiah, sets me free from the law of sin and death. Just what we're talking about here. For the Torah being powerless in that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous demand of the Torah might be fulfilled in us, those not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. People should see the righteous demand of the Torah, not in just your words, but in your actions, in your life. People should see it in your life. They should see, boy, there's something different about him. I'm telling you, the worst thing, insult that someone can ever give you is if they say, wow, I never knew you were a believer. Anybody that would say that to you, that's an insult. Because what is that saying? You're not sanctified. You're just like anybody else. They should see there's something different. Have you ever had that happen? Somebody that you didn't know from the blue would just come up and say, I know this may sound weird, but can I ask you something? You just seem different. What is it? They don't know why. They don't know what's going on. But they see there's something. There's a different spirit in you. It should be recognized that they see. In the West, we don't realize how Satan has enslaved us by our own bodies and false belief system into serving him. Gambling halls, nightclubs, pornography, TV, ads, billboards, everything is shaping the society that we're in. Absolutely everything. And I'm telling you, just look at commercials. You know, commercial advertisers, no. Nobody wants to buy Coca-Cola. Hate to tell you that, but why would anyone want to buy Coca-Cola? You know, it doesn't taste good. It's just sugared water. Why would anybody want to buy it? And yet they sell billions of it a year because you're conditioned to it. You're conditioned to it. They take these commercials. They put someone like a Michael Jackson or something on there. And they know how to, in 30 seconds to a minute, how to control the minds of people. They know how to do it. They know how to get into your emotions. I'm Hurricane Express. His father had a heart attack. They're out of money. And American Express sent the money. You know? Calling mom on Mother's Day. You know? All these things, they want to get into your emotions. Satan knows how to do it. And if commercial advertisers can do it to you in 30 seconds to a minute, what do you think Satan can do? You've got to be in control of your spirit. You have to recognize when there's a spirit that's not of Yahweh, and you have to know how to get to that door. Because everything in this society, I'm telling you, it's shaping how you believe. This is the unity. This is Ikad. All of us, we're not rubber pencils. All of us have different gifts. All of us have different expressions of the gifts of Yahweh. But all of us should have the same mindset. That's why he says in Corinthians 6, can't you put the least in the congregation to judge? Our judgment, if there's a situation here where something happened between two people, any one of us should be able to give the same exact judgment. If we all have the same exact mind of Messiah. And if there's 50 people, you know, like the old joke, they say two Jewish people and three opinions. You know, if we have 50 people and 49 opinions, we're not Ikad. We're not Ikad. And we're not submitting ourselves to the Spirit of Yahweh. Our perception and our procedure. In the West, we've been conditioned that life is about self-gratification. As long as we physically work for it, it's okay. Pleasure seeking is the reward of hard work, instead of believing that every human has a duty to Elohim to serve and love Him with our heart, our soul, and our strength, and love our neighbor, His creation, as ourself. Spiritual mature takes spiritual maturity to an unnatural level. Like I said, even forgiving those who hurt us, forgiving our enemies. It's not natural. No one is born with that. It's through the Holy Spirit that we take this now to an unnatural level. We allow Yahweh to lift us to the heavens. Letting go every stronghold. It's possible, I'm telling you, it's possible. But you've got to work on it every day of your life. You have to condition yourself and self-discipline yourself to this. See, we're in the get-quick-fix society. You know, oh, I got cancer, let me take a pill. Am I healed yet? You know, it doesn't work that way. The same thing that got us sick, it's the same thing that's going to get us better. You know, it's something you have to work on day in and day out. And I'm telling you, you will never, ever be the complete believer if you do not work on it. This has to be your vocation. It has to be every day of your life, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. You have to eat, sleep, and breathe the word of Yahweh. And then everything we do, it doesn't mean we don't work or we don't do other things, but when I go to my job, the Spirit of Yahweh is still there. I'm still not going to lie. I'm still not going to deal falsely with people. I'm going to deal with integrity. I never leave my spirit behind. You never get out of character as a believer of Yahweh. You have to do it. You have to condition yourself. And like I said, we're not born. We're definitely not born with this. Emotional spiritual maturity is developing from reacting from the natural impulses. Emotional and spiritual maturity is developing from reacting from the natural impulses and responses of human nature to the spiritual principle of loving one's neighbor as themselves. So it's not that automatic fleshly reaction, but you're controlling your spirit to let the spirit react. Like I said, it must be something that's instilled in our mind and our nervous system, which give the response and the action to the brain, and it's developed by submission and self-discipline. And this is why what I was saying yesterday, why the Laodicean spirit is so dangerous. You cannot get this without 100% submission to Yahweh. So if you're in this corner, you know, by yourself, and I'm just the self-proclaimed prophet, and no one's going to talk to me, and I'm not going to be anything else, it's just me and Yahweh, and you don't submit yourself to Him, you will never, ever be in control of yourself. And in time, these people become the most dangerous. I've met many of them in Israel that have gotten what they call Jerusalem syndrome. You know, they come there, and they're, we call them the 2,000 witnesses. I've met many. I'm the two witness. Another one? Go in the room with the other 14,000 guys. But that's what they say. They come there and they get this syndrome that it's only them and there's nobody else. And da-da-da-da. And before you know it, it goes on. Many of them wind up in the mental hospital. So submission and self-discipline. Self-discipline is the key. This is why the false concept of freedom is so dangerous, as it is false, and it only puts us in submission to Satan. There is no freedom except freedom of choice. Do we serve Yahweh, or do we serve the absence of Yahweh? One or the other. And like I said, you are not born with emotional maturity. It's totally unnatural to us, so it's something we have to nurture. It's not going to come overnight. You have to nurture it in your life. 2 Corinthians 2. Oh, 1 Corinthians 2, I'm sorry. He says, "And I, my brethren, when I came to you, did not preach to you the mystery of Elohim in magnificent speech, nor in wisdom. But I decided not to know anything among you except Yeshua Messiah and Him having been crucified. And I was with you in much reverence for Yahweh and in much trembling. And my word and my preaching was not in enticing words of human wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and with power. That your faith might not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Yahweh. But we speak wisdom among those who have comprehension, but not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, those being brought to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of Yahweh in a mystery, having been hidden from Yahweh, ordained from the world for our glory. which none of the rulers in this age have known. For if they have known, they would not have crucified the Master of glory. According as it has been written, eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, nor has been risen up in the heart of man, the things which Yahweh has prepared for those who love him. But Yahweh revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of Yahweh. For who knows men? For who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man within him? So also no one has known the things of Yahweh except the spirit of Yahweh. Like I said, human nature is very different than the spirit of Yahweh. But we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of Yahweh, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by Yahweh. For the things which we discuss are not dependent on the knowledge of words of man's wisdom, but on the teaching of the Holy Spirit, thus explaining spiritual things with the spiritual-minded. But the material man rejects the things of the Spirit of Yahweh, for they are foolishness to him, and he is not able to know them because they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man discerns everything, and yet no man is able to discern him. And this is what we see. If I gave a message like this to the world, they think, ah, oh, this is a bunch of baloney. Yeah, love my neighbor, right? Yeah, pray for those who despitefully use me. And then my neighbor's going to park in my driveway the third time. They're just thinking from the flesh. Like I said, it's totally unnatural. And brings you to a completely different spiritual level when we can control our emotions to this point. So we don't have a lot of time, but let me quickly go over 4 points of developing spiritual and emotional maturity. 4 points to leave you with. 2 Peter 2, verse 2. 2 Peter 2 and verse 2. It says, grace to you and peace be multiplied by a full knowledge of Yahweh and of Yeshua our Master, who has given us all things that pertain to the power of Elohim for life and worship of Elohim through the full knowledge of the one calling us through glory and virtue. By which means he has given to us the very great and precious promises, so that through these things you might be partakers of the divine nature, that's what we're talking about, escaping from the corruption which is in the world by lust. But also in this very thing, having brought in all diligence, having fully supported in your faith virtue, and with virtue knowledge, and with knowledge self-control, and with self-control patience, and with patience holiness, and with holiness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For these things being in you and abounding, they will make you never be useless or unfruitful in the full knowledge of our Master Yeshua Messiah. For the one in whom these things are not present is blind, being short-sighted, and forgetting that he was cleansed of his sins in times past. So, very clearly, right knowledge being interpreted correctly. Right knowledge. And you see that you need one to get the other, to get the other, to get the other. Add to this, this, add to this, this. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you'll never even get out of the starting gate. But right knowledge being interpreted correctly. Putting on the mind of Yahweh. Very first thing. You have to do this every single day. Right knowledge being interpreted correctly. Putting on the mind of Yahweh. And like I said before, any given situation, the reality is not necessarily the way we're perceiving it. And any given emotion is trying to tell you of a certain change. Emotions are built through relationship. Emotions are built through relationship. The same way if you had a very negative letter that was sent to you, you wouldn't have the same emotion if it was sent to you by a stranger, if it was sent to you by your child or a very good friend. So again, emotions are built through relationships. So what does that tell us? Emotions are strong points. Emotions gear us. They run our life. So if emotions are built through relationships, who do we want the greatest relationship with? Yahweh. Yahweh. And that's part of the problem. We don't know Yahweh well enough. We don't know him well enough. We know his word. We know what he says, but we want to know him. And he wants to know us. He wants to know us like a dad. You know, Yeshua called him Abba, Daddy. And that's the way it is. He wants to know everything about us. He wants to know little things. He wants to know big things. He wants to know our desires. He wants to know our downfalls. Build that emotion with him. I said this, you know, sometimes we work harder not to offend man and we don't worry about offending Yahweh. You know, we do something, we say, oh, I didn't want to offend them. You know, I use the name Jesus, but only because I didn't want to offend the person. But do we worry about offending Yahweh? And you know what? The one you have the strongest emotion to is the one you're not going to offend. You have to build that emotional bond with Yahweh, where no matter what, it's like, wow, he's my master. He's my king. I'm not going to offend him. No way. And you hear his voice daily. You hear it through his word. It's living. You pray to him. You talk to him. You open up his word and you hear him speaking in your life. You pray about something. You walk outside and it happens. You see reality of it. He's not someone that's far off. This isn't an old 2,000-year-old book. He's living and he's real. And he's just waiting. He's just waiting for us to come to that point. Second point, James 4. James 4. Jacob. Old habits die hard. Jacob 4. And verse 3. You asking, you do not receive, because you do not ask sincerely. You ask in order that you may satisfy your lusts. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? Whoever then purposes to be a friend of the world is an enemy to Yahweh. Or do you think that vainly the scripture says, the pride dwelling in us lusts with envy? But he gives greater grace because of this. It says, Yahweh sets himself against proud ones, but he gives grace to humble ones. Then submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to Yahweh, and he will draw to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded ones. Be distressed and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy into shame. Be humbled before Yahweh, and he will exalt you. We went over this a little bit yesterday. 100% full submission to Yahweh. Submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have to reframe our belief system to make this a reality. It's got to be a reality. You got to realize this is life and death. Life and death. Without this, you will never be spiritually mature, and you will never come to the fullness of the Messiah or the potential that he's created in you. Now, this means you're going to have to change your false beliefs. Submit to Yahweh in all things, and humble ourselves before him when we're wrong. There's something they do in Uganda, which was really interesting. Every week, the people, the congregation, there'll be a part of the service where people will get up before the congregation and share their sins if they offended the congregation, so that there's no animosity between anybody. And it was amazing to hear this. To hear even the leaders, the elders, get up there and say, I want to repent before all of you. When Brother so-and-so came in, I didn't recognize him. I was a little angry that day because my mother talked to me this way, and I didn't greet him the way that we should greet the brother of Yahweh. I'm sorry, brother, and I repent to the congregation for acting so poorly. Amazing. Amazing that they would do this and have no inhibition. Oh, man, you know, I'm not going to do that. If you ever want to really walk in the Spirit, you've got to be able to admit where you're wrong. You've got to be able to admit where you're wrong. It's so, so important. Pride, like it says here, he resists the proud. If we're going in pride, we are not under grace. And Yahweh, we have become the enemy of him. He's resisting us. He's fighting against us. Number three, we have to evaluate any given emotional situation. Is our perception or our procedure wrong, like I said? Is our perception or procedure? So again, before you let your emotion get out of control, you want to analyze the situation. Could you have perceived the situation wrong? Was the person really mad at you? You know, there's times that maybe you said something to somebody. You told them, hey, you know, I just got this new job. And you didn't tell the person not to say anything to anybody else. And then all of a sudden they told somebody else, and someone comes up to you, hey, here you got a new job. Who told you that? Well, so-and-so told me. Oh! They betrayed my confidence. Why would they say that? And you never told them not to say anything. And yet your perception, maybe you thought you did. Is it better to go up to the person and say, you know, you want to know something? I just want to let you know you probably didn't mean it, but this is something that's really personal to me. And I'd rather not have you share it with other people. Oh, no, I didn't realize that. How much trouble would leave, go fly out those windows if we would only analyze perception? And like I said, look at our life. Hygiene. One little thing, hygiene. Every one of us in here probably has a different rule for hygiene. You know, we've seen a lot of different things overseas. Is our rule, is it that ours is right? It may work for us, but should we criticize each person because their rule is different? Dress, we all have a different way of dressing. You know, like I said, when I was in Uganda the last time, they gave me one of those traditional Ugandan gowns. I hope to wear it one day in Sukkot. I don't normally wear a dress, you know, it's not our culture. But I think it's pretty neat. I was honored that they would give me a traditional gown, you know, that they would wear. Should I put them down because that's their dress? No way. Well, what makes my perception and the rules that I was taught growing up any better than anybody else's? But that's what happens in life. Because they're ingrained in us, somehow we think we're right. And you know what that's called? Self-righteousness. Anything that you believe and criticize others for that is not in the Torah is self-righteousness. It's creating a righteousness that Yahweh didn't put on it. And actually, we're making ourselves our own Elohim because we're saying we know better than Yahweh. So we have to look at our perception and our procedure and see if it is actually true. Must communicate our emotions to others properly. Many times we get offended, and what do? We clam up, we walk away. If we're feeling upset, if we're feeling hurt, if we're feeling like somebody may have said something, you know, I'm a public speaker, I'm here all the time, I'm speaking like this. And there's times that something will come out that came out the wrong way. And I've apologized. If I said something that hurt somebody's feelings, I never mean to do that. And if someone came up to me and said, you know, I really felt offended at how you said this, I would apologize. I don't mean to do that. But again, if you don't come up and say it, but walk out of the door just angry and then saying how bad this person is because he said this, it's not Yahweh's way. You have to make sure you can portray your emotions. Communicate your emotions with others properly. And like I said, remember, emotions are simply trigger points to take action. We want to control them, not suppress them. Because suppressing them, it's like anger. If you're angry and you suppress it, and then usually like a volcano, it'll blow up. So it's not about just suppressing them, it's controlling them properly. And the fourth point, and most important point, of emotional and spiritual maturity is self-discipline, self-control. You have to be able to discipline yourself. You know, at our school, I wouldn't say, I mean, and many of you people are here, it's not rigid, but we have rules. You know, there's a curfew, 9 o'clock, everyone in their rooms are in bed. And we do this, I don't need the rules. You know, I've been through the course many times and whatnot. But I do it because I know that if the people don't have discipline, they will never achieve in the program what they need to achieve. And I know that one of the big problems here in America, because our lives are so chaotic, just because of society, that we don't have that discipline in our life. So it's not that I'm trying to hurt somebody or control somebody. I'm trying to help them with getting discipline in their life. Like I said, we're setting goals. We're achieving the goals. We're getting a plan of action. We're going through a plan so that the people could walk out of there actually feeling, I know how to accomplish something now. Now I know what to do. And you need it. If you do not have self-discipline in your life, you will never have spiritual and emotional maturity. Absolutely not. Can only come through trained response repetition. And that's the way our nervous system works. When something happens over and over and over and over. You have to do it. You have to get in. That's why it talks about in 1 Corinthians 14:40, do everything decently and with regular arrangement. Because then your mind gets used to it. Have you ever been home and something that you do every day, maybe it's a pill you take, or even brushing your teeth, that you're running and you're getting ready to go, and then you forget, did I brush my teeth? Did I take my vitamin? You don't remember. Because you're so used to it, it's just a response. Sometimes you do it without even knowing you did it. You know, and you have to check the garbage to see if the vitamin paper is in there. But it's true. We're creatures of habit. So by doing something over and over and getting that self-discipline, you're going to create the habit that you want to have. Repetition. Like I said, writing it down, making sure you write it down, you have a plan of action, assessing it on a weekly, daily, monthly basis. Looking to see as you're assessing it, is your perception, is your procedure right or wrong? This out of everything is the most important thing, and it can change your life. Because when you write things down, you do them. Like I said, you look at the most successful people in the world, the people that accomplish things are people that write their goals down. They write their goals down and they do them. If you don't write it down, you'll forget a lot of it. And you just won't have vision by looking at it every day. You know, putting it on your refrigerator, putting it somewhere you can see it. Read it every morning. You know, your belief system, what you're willing to die for. You know, your strongest belief in life, like I said, that I will love Yahweh with my heart, my mind, my soul, and strength. Put it on your door, read it every day. Only if you apply it, though, will it work. Only if you apply it. You must be able to reframe each situation to sustain better emotional outcome. There's something we teach at the Bible school called reframing. So you take a situation that might seem bad, but in any situation, you can find something positive out of it. And I use the situation, I say, okay, we're going to go out and we're going to witness to people today. There's somebody that has this fear of talking to people. They say next to the fear of death, the fear of public speaking is the number one fear of people in the world. And they just can't get up here. They clam up when they come near the microphone. So all we have to do is we have to reframe this. Instead of going out and thinking to myself, I'm going to talk to these people, they're all going to reject me. Your goal is going to be to go out and talk to 10 people and get rejected. So everyone that rejects you, you're one step closer to your goal. Just reframe them. They throw lemonade. They throw lemons at you, you make lemonade. But you can do that to any given situation. I joked one year at the Bible school, there was one year that they didn't have very good food. And you could look at it and say, oh, food here is terrible, you know, the mashed potatoes again. I reframed it. I said, I lost 10 pounds. You know, it enabled me to lose the weight. In any given situation, you could look at it positively or negatively. And you have to be able to reframe things in your life. Making the right decision and exhibiting self-control. Last scripture I'm going to go into here is Proverbs 14:11. It says, in the absence of wise counsel, the people fall, but safety is in the abundance of counselors. So we always want to make sure that in the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom, that we're exhibiting the right decisions, exhibiting self-control in our life. And just very, very quickly, just to show you the opposite, the spiritually immature, three things that you'll notice with spiritually immature people. They make decisions based on feelings and emotions, and they let human emotions control them. If you know somebody who is very spiritually immature, oh, sometimes it's a nightmare to be around them. One minute they're happy, one minute they're sad. Their emotions are basically controlling them wherever they're going. You know. Number two, they act completely impulsive like a child and have no self-control or discipline. You wonder, you know, one day they're doing this and one day they're doing that. They'll tell you something, you know, I'll be over in an hour. They don't show up for 6 hours and then they're winding up on an airplane somewhere. I don't know, I felt I need to get on a plane. Absolutely. People who are spiritually and emotionally immature are totally impulsive like a child and have no self-control or discipline. And number three, they let mood swings control them, which are set by negative anchors and pride. And they are no better off than a possessed person out of control of their spirit. I mean, remember, we represent Yahweh, the Elohim, the creator of the universe. How many of us, I say this many times, if you are a covenant, spirit-begotten child of His, you are at least 1,000,000 to 1. For every one of you, there's 1,000,000 people out there that aren't. What? To much is given, much is expected. The more is given, the more is required. How much is required of you and your character to be a representative of Yahweh on this earth? So this isn't just something to help you. This is something He requires of us. If we're going to use His name, you know, if we're going to represent Him, we better have self-control. We better have dignity. We better act like an ambassador. Because people are going to judge us, and they're going to judge Yahweh by our actions. So again, we don't want to let mood swings be controlling our life that have come there. So we need to recognize the things that are causing these patterns. We need to learn how to change them and do them. So I know, like I said, it's a lot to give in one message. This is a whole course that we do on this at the school. But it's important. To me, as much as I love history, I love archaeology, I love learning these things in the Bible, but the things that excite me more than anything in the Bible or reading an article are things that help me change my character. Because I know I need to change. I know there's things I need to change. And that is exciting to me. That when I can read something in Yahweh's Word or an article that can help the Holy Spirit make me a better disciple of Yeshua. Make me a more complete disciple of Yeshua. So, Yahweh bless you. I pray that this was helpful. Chag Sameach again. And we will be back here, let's see, in about another 15-20 minutes. We'll be back here, the ones who paid for the meal, for the fellowship meal. Yahweh bless.